I appreciated what Father Tom said about yesterday. That was a wonderful break from winter and the temperature, and hopefully you got outside and moved around a little bit and enjoyed it. For those of you that are not snowbirds, that probably was a glorious day for you yesterday, as it was for me. But they tell me, though, hang on, the cold will come back in a little bit. But you know what? We're getting quite a way down the winter track here, and it'll be spring before you know it. Glorious morning this morning, kind of a paradox coming in. I was coming down the expressway towards church, and this morning it was amazing. On my left side, as I looked out, the sun was just coming up, a golden ball of fire. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I'm in the car going, and it is pouring down rain on the way here, the strangest thing. And then I thought about how interesting it is that even the weathermen to this day still can't quite get it right, but that's okay. We'll take the sun, and the sun is out now, so it'll be another nice day for us. On my heart, you know, as we sang the responsorial song today, and I did yesterday, and I thought a lot about it, just a short little insert here. You know, if we allow ourselves to become afraid and fear sets in, what happens is fear becomes a paralyzing thing. It's like you can't move or do. I entrust in you today to take the words that were sung and remember who your Savior is and ask this question to yourself, because every now and then I have to ask myself, how big is my God? How big is he? Do I have him in a little box, or is he the magnificent creator that I know him to be? And where you have him in your vision, allow his peace to come in and lift your fear, and try not to be afraid, because he is well aware of what's happening in your midst. Just a little side note to throw that out there. But this morning, some notes of interest to be noted. If you heard, if you read from Isaiah, there was a line that was read by the prophet who wrote it almost 800 years ago now, this very line. Then Matthew comes along and uses the same line to refer to Jesus. And it is this: the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. And like those folks in Galilee that witnessed Jesus Christ, we too have experienced that great light. In fact, you're here today because of that light of Jesus Christ. Jesus had taken residence in an area of Galilee with a large Gentile population. John the Baptist had just been murdered recently, and he moves into Capernaum, into an area where there's a lot of Gentiles, which is good news for us that are Gentiles, because that means all that God has to offer is entitled to us also. We know today, as I said, who that great light is, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. But I don't think sometimes we fully realize as a people how truly blessed we are that God came to dwell among us. But even greater still, we're given the opportunity to come to know him and know about him, but also even better, yeah, we can have that personal relationship with him, and it can be part of our lives in such a way in all that we do. We have truly been called out of darkness, each and every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, because of a God who loves us so much, each and every one of us. We see in the latter part of the gospel, the scene changes, and Jesus is walking through Galilee, and he's gathering his disciples, which was not the norm in that day. Even today, it's kind of not the norm. In those days, if someone wanted to attach themselves to a rabbi or a great leader or a teacher that they like, usually that person would seek out that person and want to be one of their followers, you know? It's kind of like our kids when they talk about college. They kind of seek out where they want to go according to the majors they have. But Jesus was different. He was walking and he was choosing who was going to be part of his group as his disciples. And as he approached the fishermen, and then another, and then another, inviting them, he said, by saying, come after me, which he was saying, it was his personal call for them to follow him as a disciple. Likewise, he continues to call each and every one of us today to continue to be his disciple. A little flower, we have a unique name for it. A couple years ago, Father Dave came across a reading and an idea, and we have been talking for a couple of years now in the staff meetings and among ourselves about becoming intentional disciples of Jesus Christ. Intentional meaning what? that we try in all that we do, in our readings and our work and where we are and who we are, to be intentionally his disciples. Well, in order to be that way, you have to what? Understand what being a disciple is, number one. And number two, understand what Jesus calls us to be a disciple. That's another day. But he continues to call each and every one of us, and for us to be intentional. How do I know that he chose all of you? He says so. He talked to us in John's Gospel in chapter 15. You'll find this verse. This is Jesus speaking. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of my Father in my name, he will give it to you. That call is there to all of us. However, some of us might be hesitant to be a follower for a number of reasons. Let me share a few things about the people that Jesus called the fishermen, which in our day and age, I don't think we know a whole lot about commercial fishing. We have those that like to fish. And if you're a good fisherman, you have these traits to make you a good fisherman. One of the things, Jesus did not pick the holiest of people. He didn't pick the holiest. He didn't pick the Pharisees and the Sadducees and people in church. He picked the fishermen. What about fishermen? He picked ordinary people for an extraordinary task. They were fishermen. What about a fisherman? Number one, if you're a good fisherman, you're patient. They're used to waiting for that moment when they can catch the fish. Good fishermen are perseverers. They persevere at their work. If they don't, what? They don't eat. So they're perseverers. These fishermen, and fishermen even around here, they were courageous. The Sea of Galilee is a lot like Lake Erie. If you've ever been out on Lake Erie in a boat, and I've been out there a lot, I've been on some sailboats, and there's a storm coming, and you don't get out, it's like being in a tsunami out there. Because it's shallow, number one, and the waves just get nuts and crazy. There's been a few times when I've been on a sailboat, and we got caught, and we're trying to get back. And when I finally got in, I tell you, I did this, I would get off that sailboat, walk up the dock, get down on my knees, and kiss the ground. The Sea of Galilee was like that. So these fishermen were courageous people. The same thing. Also, more important, and this pertains to all of us, that they were not perfect. They all had their faults. In spite of their fault, guess what? Jesus did not revoke their call. And he never, ever, never gave up on them. And you can claim that too also for your own life, that God will not give up on you. He will be with you all the way. Just like Jesus, who fished out his disciples, God to this day is still trying desperately to fish us out. I believe he uses anything he can. He can use our successes, our failures, our dreams, our hopes, our feelings, even our challenges to get and keep our attention on him. That's the key. We need to stay attentive to him and what he wants for us to do. Are you aware today that God does need us? Are you aware that he's active in your life? A question you might want to ask yourself about your walk. I do this with me. I say this all the time to myself. And I'm in a job where I have a lot of contact with the public, and I ask myself, are people better because they know me? Are people better when they leave my presence because they had a chance to know me? The same question you need to ask yourself. Are people better because they know us as believers? Our faults, failures, our weaknesses are no excuse from the call of discipleship. There were times that the disciples were a mess. And every now and then you hear about that. But he did not give up on them. And thank God he doesn't give up on us. That call went out to the disciples to become fishers of men, women, children. It still goes forth today to each and every one of us. If you're struggling in your call, if you're struggling today, I invite you to let the Eucharist become a part of your day to challenge you. Don't ever let Eucharist just be a passive action. It's a chance for you on this very day, wherever you are in your life, to come and encounter his presence and become part of you so that you can leave here changed a little bit, or maybe need to, whatever it is you need, you can receive it at the altar today. He makes himself available to us and wants to become such a part of us. So when you come today to receive of his presence, like I said, just don't let it be a passive affair or something we do, but let it be a moment for you between you and God to allow him to minister to your heart in whatever need that you might have. Let us continue to trust and follow him. You know why? Because there's still a lot of fish out in the sea.